Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. I hope all is blessed, and I hope out there. This is your host, Minister Jay Miller. Like I said earlier, I hope everyone is blessed right now. I hope all is well. You and your families, whatever your day was like. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I hope you're enjoying yourself right now. If you're tuning in, we're so thankful that you see fit to tune in to Dirty Church Radio. I just wanted to thank God, man, just for seeing another day. Waking me up, blessing my family, putting food on the table, a roof over their head, clothes on the back. It just, a lot of times it seems like we just got to really just thank God for those things that we seem to look over sometimes. You know, we don't feel as though we're blessed unless it's something big or huge. But just to be breathing today is one of the greatest gifts that you can have under this earth realm right here. It's just to breathe. And I believe everyone that is breathing, you owe God something. You owe him to acknowledge him for who he is. You owe him some praise. He deserves your thanks just for the fact that you're still existing. Tonight, everyone that is tuning in, tonight's show is a show based upon something a little different. Tonight, we're going to talk about praise, sex, and drugs. Are you addicted? Are you addicted? craves sex and drugs? Are you addicted? I know some people might be like, yo, what type of topic is that? Craves sex and drugs? Are you addicted? Well, you understand, if you're like me, you came up in church and you came up on both sides, really. Growing up in the streets or in the hood or however you want to call it, and still, you know, going to a church, your family with your aunties, your uncles went to church, and you got a glimpse of what God is, but you still was attached to a lot of things in the world. And tonight, I want to talk about starting out with the praise. Earlier today on our Dirty Church forum, I asked a question. What addictions are you hiding behind your praise? What are you covering up? What issues that you're avoiding to facing? I know a lot of times we go to church and we ask God for forgiveness. We go to the altar, we read our word, we talk to our pastors, our ministers, our deacons, you know, and we, you know, we give God praise. But every time we leave the church house, we get connected to that same very thing that we ask God to forgive us for. So tonight I'm trying to dig a little deeper just with that scenario. I'm asking the question, is it a possibility that you're addicted to the cycle of being forgiven and then doing the thing that you're forgiven of? Are you addicted to that repeated cycle? Are you addicted to going to the altar asking God to forgive you for the same things over and over again? And tonight we want to talk about what could those addictions be. Is it sex? Is it drugs? Is it a man? Is it a woman? Is it money? What addictions are you hiding that you're overlooking and you're stuck in this evolving door? You repeat the same thing over and over, and you may have been doing it for years, decades, months, weeks. And you go to church or you go wherever house of worship or at night and you pray, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm not going to do it no more. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And the next, soon as it's over, you find yourself doing that thing. So tonight we want callers to call in and talk about the different strongholds and addictions that you believe is in the church that need to be dealt with, that we need to face. What do we need to face? What are we hiding? See, we come, we present and praise in front of us, but what's behind it? What are you covering up? Because you keep repeating these same issues. And I know God, when he truly comes in our lives, he's supposed to make us whole. But I believe that a lot of us in this life are half-stepping because we're not facing those skeletons that may be in the closet. And we're hiding it behind our praise. But I believe the season that we're in and we're going into, it's about time to start confronting those skeletons and dealing with the issue so we can be totally set free in our minds and in our hearts so we can give God a true praise. So we won't have to go to God praising him in a false identity. And I believe that's the problem. We're going to God in a false identity, like he truly doesn't know who we really are. And tonight we have a caller on the line with us. A few of the other hosts, they might be running late tonight. But you'll be on the air here with Minister Jay Miller, the host, until the other hosts come in tonight. And if not, we're still going to go forward with this topic. But I want the listeners out there to call in and help me talk about this thing. Help me talk about the addictions that you see in church, that you see in the body of Christ that's not being dealt with, that's being covered up and not being confronted. What's going on, caller? How you doing? Hello?
How you doing?
Hey, man, what's going on with you, bro?
Hey, man, how are you?
Good, man, good.
Good.
So what do you feel about the topic, man? I know you was listening in for a few minutes.
You know, I think it's an excellent topic. It's something that needs to be dealt with. And I think we all have something that we hide behind, that we hide our praise behind, you know. Well, I can only speak, you know, from personal experiences that I've had, you know. My addiction, I mean, I'm not going to be honest with you. It was, at one point in my life, it was sex, you know, sex. And I never dealt with too many drugs. Well, you know, experimenting here and there, but I was never really addicted to drugs, you know. Sex was a stronghold that I had to deal with. I'm talking like, you know, one foot in the church and one foot out. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying? You know, to a point where you go to satisfy that unquenchable flame, like, you know, lust, which is lust. You can never satisfy it. You know, you go out to these different sex clubs, you know, out of town here, and then I would go on Sunday morning and play music, you know, being a musician in the church, you know, it's like, okay, all right, I'm living a double life here, you know, I'm saying I love God, but yet I'm going to these sex clubs to satisfy my flesh, which really wasn't being satisfied, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
But it was like you said earlier when you were describing, it was a cycle that I was going through, like, okay, this is what I'm telling myself, you know. I'm gonna do this for this amount of time. Do this. I'm going to stop. But you know, when I set a date, I said, okay, next month I'm done. And when that date came around, I was like, okay, one more time. But that one more time, that last time never came. You know,
wow.
I kept doing it over and over and over again. You know, and you get like an emptiness. You know, you're like, I love you, God, but you know, I want to serve you, but I can't quit. I need help, you know. And but with that kind of lifestyle, I believe, and I know for a fact that you open yourself up to all types of problems that come into your life. Like, you know, I believe demonic forces can also come into your life by you exposing yourself to these different types of, these different types of sins. You know what I'm saying? Like, because, you know, the Bible says the body, that's the temple, you know. We're supposed to, protect it, you know, and cherish it, you know. And if you damage the temple or do anything wrong to the temple, I believe God is going to deal with you. And I believe God dealt with me in a lot of different ways I'm going to say, you know, I have an illness that I deal with. You know, I don't care what anybody says, you know. In my heart, I believe that had I not lived that type of lifestyle, that would have never happened to me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
I just believe that was a consequence of me allowing sin to come into my life. And, it's like the movie Gremlins, you know, we don't die, we multiply. You know, you allow one sin to come in, it's like, okay, you got to feed that sin constantly. You got to feed it over and over again. And before you know, you got this big monster growing inside of you. That's growing like wildfire, a wildfire, and you can't, it's uncontrollable. You can't put it out. And that's when it becomes an illness, or whatever, or some type of, you know, issue that you can't get rid of, you know. But
that's something.
That's basic, you know, my interpretation of praise, sex, and drugs, you know. It's something that it's hard to deal with. Once you allow sin into your life, it's really hard to get rid of, especially when it's dealing with that flesh, you know.
Did you know it's something you said that, right? It's something that the topic is praise, sex, and drugs. Just like a person who may have smoked crack before.
Right.
When they smoke crack for the first time, every time after that, they're chasing that first experience. They're chasing that feeling.
Exactly.
And it's the same thing with sex.
Same.
You're chasing that feeling.
That's right. That's exactly. You,
and then
what
you do, it's the emptiness that's there. But then it fills back up, and here you find yourself in that repeated cycle, chasing that feeling, chasing that feeling. So I was wondering, too, are people chasing the feeling of an emotional praise in church? Where we praise, even though we're breathing, we have the right to praise. But are we caught in a cycle where we do what we want to do, we let our flesh run us rapid, but we're still addicted to that feeling of praise? So we go through that cycle of lifting our hands, dancing, running, but when we leave, we don't leave with any power to restrain ourselves in the midst of the temptations when they come, because we're so focused on the emotional drive of the praise, but not accepting the true deliverance with our hearts. And it's almost like you become addicted to that feeling or to that cycle.
That's true, because I believe, you know, what made it hard for me was that with true deliverance, that means you have to give all that stuff up.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You have to give all that, all that sex up, pornography, whoever it may be, drugs, whatever. You have to stop all that. And a lot of people aren't ready to for true deliverance. You know what I'm saying? They're not ready for that.
Wow. I remember myself at times, right? I would, you know how, like, you know, you out there doing what you're doing. You're doing you out there, whatever you may be doing, right?
Right, right.
And then you find yourself, you come to church, and now you're trying to get free. But now you have to battle all the images that's in your mind of the deeds that you just got finished doing.
Right.
So now you're thinking all these different type of thoughts, and you're at the altar, or you're, you know, wherever in your seat, and you're trying to receive, but your mind is cluttered with your deeds.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So many images. Whether you've been laying with this person or laying with that person, and your mind is cluttered with all the sins of your past.
Right.
And
it
gets you stuck or stagnated. In a place of imprisonment. Because sometimes a lot of things we've done, we're very guilty about it. We feel guilty for it, or shame, and we get stuck in that shame. And that right there, being stuck in the guilt of what you've done, can keep you from being delivered from what you're connected to. So
the Bible also, okay, I'm sorry.
No, I just wanted to say, like, it's how people, you know, that's why I was saying how people are getting addicted to praise. They're getting addicted to the cycle of doing wrong, going to church, lifting their hands, praising God, leaving out, doing wrong again. So they get addicted to praise, and they get addicted to whatever the sex or drugs that they're connected to or whatever the sin is, and they get addicted to the cycle of repenting and sinning.
Right.
Repenting and sinning. Repenting and sinning, and no one is becoming whole. When Jesus comes alive, he's supposed to truly make us whole. And I believe that's a problem right now that's going on in the body. Right now, one of our co-hosts is on here right now, Apostle Lewis Young. God bless you, Apostle.
Grace and peace, my friends and my brothers.
God bless
you. Good, man. How you doing, man?
Doing all right. Doing all right.
Yeah, I don't know how long you was actually listening, man, but, you know, tonight's episode is praise, sex, and drugs. Are you addicted? And we're talking about the addictions that take place within church, take place within a person's salvation, or takes place in a person's personal walk in this journey of life. How some people go to church, they praise God, but they leave and they're stuck with, whether it's snorting coke, drinking, smoking, getting high, sex, women. But they still have that feeling or that urge to keep coming to praise God. But when they leave, they never get free from that addiction. So now the praising God and the addiction goes hand in hand with them, and it's like it becomes a revolving door, a cycle that they can't break.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? It's almost just like the children of Israel, where they sinned, they sinned, repented, retribution from God. Sin, repented, retribution from God. Like being stuck in a cycle and not getting free from the cycle of this thing. And a lot of times I was talking about how, I know, like we was talking to other, a few shows where we talk about grace and law. And sometimes the grace of everything spoils a person to the point where it's just, all right, God knows my heart, so I'll just go do this, and then I'll go to the altar.
I think,
you know, God knows my heart. He understands. I'll just go to the altar. So we get stuck in that habit and never truly become delivered and made whole. You follow me, Apostle?
Yep. I heard some people say, I don't know how true this is, but I heard some people say, and I think this is a kind of cop-out they use all the time when you're in sin, and they say, once saved, always saved. I don't believe that. Yeah, I really don't believe that.
Well, we had that discussion on the show. We had a part one and a part two.
Oh, okay.
I believe it was a part three. I don't know. I think it was a part two. But that's a topic that we're going to get back in. We probably do another episode of that later on, get more other people involved in points of views. But I'm really not talking about the actual rule, once saved, always saved. I'm talking about the individual who is addicted to something and they can't break the cycle. They still go to church. They still read their Bible. They still are pressing, but they haven't broken that revolving door. Could you elaborate on that, Apostle?
Well, I'll say this. First of all, praise denotes victory. It doesn't necessarily denote deliverance. All right. It's required for men to praise because that's what we was created to do. But just because you praise, it does not necessarily mean that you're victorious or that you're delivered. So a lot of people come to church and, you know, they get a fix. Mm. They get a fix to kind of put a Band-Aid to cover up the sin that they're dealing with or that they're in. All right, so they come to church, they get the emotions riled up, and they get a spiritual fix. But a spiritual fix is not going to help you deal with whatever the sin that you're dealing with. All right? And a lot of churches, especially today when they're full of young people, you know, 90% of the time that they're in the church, they're up running around the church, they're dancing, getting it in. But then when you ask them what the preacher preached about, they can't tell you. If he preached at all. I don't care what nobody say. It's the word, not the singing, not the shouting.
That's right. It's the
preached word of God that's going to deliver you and help you walk away from the sin that you're currently in.
Wow, that's right.
So you can shout all you want, but if you don't have a true sense of deliverance in your life, all you doing is shouting, putting a Band-Aid on, and trying to cover up all the stuff you did during the week to ease your guilt so that you could go right back after you finish shouting and do it all over again. All right?
Wow.
Now, y'all was just talking about grace, and it's funny y'all brought that up because I was going to talk about that tonight myself.
Well, you could go into that thing tonight. Tonight is a night I really want people to be honest and call in because I want people to actually confront those addictions or give a testimony of how they got free from an addiction that they hid for a long time and being in church. And a lot of times it happened like that because a lot of times in church no one wants to really be honest because
right.
They're worrying about the judgment of what they're going through. But and I believe the deliverance of what you're going through should outweigh what you feel about the judgment of it, what you're going through. And tonight we got two other callers. one from a 704 area code and a 400 something. So I'm going to let them on tonight. Hello, callers?
Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm blessed.
How you doing? How long have you been listening to the show?
I just came in about, I'll say about 20 minutes ago, I just came in on your show. But I have a question that I would like to pose to the preacher there tonight and the apostle.
Okay.
What is the term being made whole? That's the first part of the question. The term being made whole, when you know someone, they say, you know, to be made whole, as you were talking tonight, you know, a person just keeps sinning, addicted to something, and they come and they praise, and then, you know, they don't get deliverance because praise don't bring about deliverance, and they just go back out. Now, I want to ask a question. That's one question. Is it that as believers, are we able to be free from sin? You know, can you help me? I'm a Christian too myself, you know. And the reason I'm asking that question, I've been delivered. God has delivered me from many, many things. But I find sometimes that, you know, I go back to other things. I fight with other things where I have to get delivered from. And I get delivered, and then for a long time, I find myself in something else, and I got to get delivered. So I'm wondering, you know, because a lot of times as Christians, people, we don't discuss these things. These things are not discussed because of fear of what one will think of you or say of you, because it is portrayed as a Christian. You know, you have to live so upright, so free from sin. You're not supposed to do anything, you know, because you're looked on as the bad person, you know. So, you know, I would like for you all to answer, help me out with that question, those questions here.
Apostle?
Okay. Well, when the Bible refers to someone being made whole, mm-hmm. it's usually dealing with some kind of infirmity, some kind of sickness. I'd like to give you an example. The crippled man that laid at the pool of Bethesda, or a leper. So when the Bible refers to a person being made whole, it's usually dealing with some kind of infirmity. All right?
Uh-huh.
So that was your first question.
Uh-huh. So wait a minute. Just me. Hold on, please. Uh-huh. Okay, it's dealing with some sort of infirmity. But is it is that sin? Is that sin there also?
It could be. Some infirmities could come upon you. Some infirmities could come upon you because of sin. All right? Then some people are born with infirmities.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on the nature of the situation, and it depends on the individual. An infirmity can be a sin. All right? And, like, if to give you an example, if you have a crack addiction, an addiction
uh-huh.
can be an infirmity, all right? And you need to be made whole from the infirmity, which your infirmity could be crack addiction,
uh-huh.
all right?
Uh-huh.
That crack addiction came on you because of sin.
Uh-huh.
You intaking something in your body that your body was never, anything that you put into your body
uh-huh.
is a sin, because the Bible says that your body is the temple of the Lord.
Yes.
So anything that you do that pollutes your body is a sin. So whenever you do that, cancer is an infirmity.
You get cancer by sinning, by putting that cigarette up to your mouth and smoking that cigarette. So, to answer your question, an infirmity can be from the result of sin. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So, did you understand the answer?
Yes.
To the question?
Yes. Right? Oh, yes. I understand
now,
that.
The second part of the question, can you repeat it one more time for me? Because my mind was on the infirmity, being made whole. Now I need to hear the second part of the question again.
The second part is that I asked, can Christians, can we live sin-free life? You know, you get delivered from one thing, and then sometimes you find yourself in another situation, and you have to just get delivered, you know? What I'm trying to say is that, we deal with a lot of different struggles. People just don't talk about it, okay? Mm-hmm. And I am just wondering, as a Christian, are we going to able to defeat some of these struggles?
Well,
I know what the Bible say. Now, but what I'm saying is that, you know, a lot of us have struggles still that we are dealing, and we go to God, we pray, and we ask God to forgive us and, you know, give us the strength, deliver us from that situation, and sometimes, you know, God do deliver us, you know. But then sometime we could find ourselves in that same thing again or something else. And I'm just trying to find out why it is.
Well, I'm gonna answer that this way.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, anybody that says, especially a Christian that says that they don't sin,
yes,
they're fooling themselves. Number one, they're fooling themselves. Because as long as we're in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
we have the capabilities to sin at any given moment.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to happen because you're in the flesh. Now, as a Christian,
mm-hmm.
of course you strive to live. Your goal is to live sin free.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's why the Bible says these kind come out only by fasting and praying,
mm-hmm.
all right? And that should be a ritual for any believer. If you really want to live a sin-free life, you got to constantly be in His Word. You got to constantly be consecrating. You got to constantly be praying and fasting to keep your flesh under subjection. And see, whenever you let your flesh man get more exercise than your spiritual man, then your flesh man is going to be stronger than your spiritual man, which makes you capable of sinning, doing almost anything. But what the Word of God does, the Word of God makes you view yourself. That's why a lot of people don't like studying the Bible, because when you study this Bible, the Bible is going to reveal to you what's going on in your life, and it's going to make you. It's gonna pierce your heart and condemn you, especially if you're doing something that is wrong.
Uh-huh.
Right. So to answer your question, yes, we people sin every day. I'm talking about from, and I don't want to start dropping no names, but from the greatest leader in our Christendom all the way down to the least. Because if God tells you to do something and you don't do it, I don't care how big or how small it is. If you don't do it, the Bible says all disobedience is sin.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Just because you looked at that woman that wasn't yours and started imagining what you could do with that woman, the Bible says you might as well just go ahead on and do it, because you have already, the seed of sin has already been planted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might not have committed the act, but if you thought about doing it, and you sitting up daydreaming about having sexual relations with a woman that ain't yours, you done already committed the sin in your mind.
Okay.
So let's be realistic here. we all sin. The Bible says, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Uh-huh.
But because we have a relationship with God, and this is where the Holy Ghost is important. See, the Holy Ghost is going to lead you and guide you to all truth. So that means when you're doing something that you got no business doing,
yes.
And the Holy Ghost is going to let you know, listen, you don't
uh-huh.
supposed to be thinking about doing that, let alone
uh-huh.
doing it.
Yeah.
And see, that's why you got to have the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost, if you listen to it now, and see, that's the difference. If you listen to the guidance of the Holy Ghost is going to warn you and tell you you're getting ready to do something that you got no business doing. Now, it's up to you to listen to the Holy Ghost after he don't warn you. Now, if you decide that, no, my flesh want this more, me satisfying my flesh is more important than me being an upright Christian citizen, then your flesh is going to win. And then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to come get in the prayer, the forgive me line, ask God to forgive you, and then you got to start all over again. And it's nothing wrong with that if that's where you are, all right? But then after a while, you got to get past doing the first work stage,
uh-huh.
all right? When you keep finding yourself falling short in the same area, that's
uh-huh.
the signification that you need to go on a fast and pray so that God can completely deliver you from that thing that keeps making you slip and mess up.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
It's something you said, that apostle, right? I was, when you were just saying that, once we are in Christ through his salvation and his blood, we are no longer slaves to sin. So we shouldn't live our life as a slave to sin, because God makes a way of escape for us. Not saying that we won't mess up, but we should not walk around with fetters and chains on our lives like we're not free, like we can't accomplish and get the victory over issues that try to come in our life. And you just had touched on it, Apostle. I just wanted to read the scripture where it's in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, starting at the 4th verse. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. First of all, you got to realize, normally every deed or thing that you're getting ready to do, it starts in a thought.
That's right.
And once you start thinking and imagining on that thought, then you start bringing that thing into existence. But the word says, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So in order for you to know what the things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, you got to know what the knowledge of God stands for, and that's by obtaining
right.
his word. And then it says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's why in your mind, when you hear people's words and when you speak, everything is a seed. And if you let that seed get rooted, whether it's negative or positive, it's going to grow.
Right.
And if it grows and it gets strong, then you'll find yourself doing that same thing that you really don't want to do, but you didn't uproot that thing before it had enough time to get strength. You see what I'm saying, Apostle?
Yes, yes.
And then even in hearing the word, it says, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So you have to live your life now like, listen, I'm sick of the enemy. I'm sick of doing the same thing over and over and over. I'm sick of the enemy getting victory in my life. Not only getting the victory, I'm sick of giving him the victory, because we give him the victory.
Yep.
Like, we give him the victory through
mm-hmm.
our disobedience.
Yep.
And that's the thing. That's why we have to get that word in us. The same way we feed our spirit, we feed this flesh every day, you have to feed that spiritual man, because if you don't feed him, he will be malnutrition and won't be strong enough to fight in this spiritual fight, because it's spiritual. It starts in your thoughts before you do anything physical.
That's right.
It starts in your mind, and that's in the body of Christ. That's what we get it kind of messed up at. We don't deal with, that's why I'm so glad about this show, to confront and deal with those things that we try to cover up. So as long as you don't touch or preach on that thing that makes me feel uncomfortable, I'm okay. But
yep.
once you start digging deep in those issues that make me move around and grab myself because I'm ashamed, I don't want to deal with that. It hurts too much. But that's where God wants to get. The Bible says that God searches the intents of the heart.
That's right.
He wants to get to the core of the situation, and we have to let him do that. But if we're not confronting and being honest, and we keep going to God in a false identity, we got to go to God in realness and not really be concerned about what people are going to say. But it's mainly about what God is going to say. And normally, the majority of us in this walk, we stay bound and in prison because we're worrying about what people are going to say about us.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't give our testimony. We won't confess out in the open and show the devil that he will not have no ground in my life. You will not back me up in the wall. You can't tell nothing on me because I'll tell on myself.
Yep.
And that's what the devil does. He goes around. See, and the thing about it
is,
yes, man. He accused. And the thing about it, a lot of people, we're tricked. We don't know the difference between a blessing of God and a bribery of Satan. And a lot of us in the body of Christ are taking the bribery and not the true blessing, because the true blessing comes through prayer and fasting and reading his word. If you're not doing those things, I declare on this Dirty Church radio show right now, you're not strong and you're weak. And I'm saying this not to any of the callers that's on the line, but as a whole, in the general, including the host. If we're not praying and we're not fasting and reading his word, we're going to fall for all these temptations that we've been falling for years and years and decades and months and weeks. And we're going to just keep repeating that same cycle. But we can be free, and we don't have to be a slave to repeated sins. We're going to sin as long as we're in this flesh, but we have to have a mind to repent. But we should have in our hearts a readiness to revenge all of our disobedience.
That's right. Get off the merry-go-round. Because that's all it is.
Yeah.
Get off the merry-go-round. It's like this here too. A lot of this stuff is familiar. It's very familiar. You can almost tell when the devil's trying to set you up to fall for the same old okey-doke. Especially if you don't been on this merry-go-round for so long. Once you get off that merry-go-round and you get a taste of your freedom, you're going to do whatever you can do. Now, see, this, it all depends on if you're ready to give it up.
Yeah.
You got to be, you got to, when the Bible's talking about being ready to revenge, that means you got to be like, you know what, I don't care whatever I got to do, I will not succumb to this here sin again.
That's right, that's true.
And I'm going to be so spiritually prepared for when the devil come to bring this same old sin back to me, I'm going to be able to see it 5 miles up the road and be able to declare to the devil, you will not, I see you all the way down the road, I see you coming, I want you to know, get ready for a fight today, because I declare that same sin will not make me backslide and go back and have to start all over again. I'm pressing past this thing. I'm pressing towards the mark. I'm going to another level. I'm going to a whole other level. I'm not going to let you trick me so that I have to keep starting over and over and over and over again with the same stuff. Stop falling for the okey-doke.
Wow.
Stop falling for the okey-doke. But you're going to keep falling for it until you get to the place where, you know what, I'm sick and tired of dealing with this here same old, same old. If I'm going to fall, at least let me fall to something that's new. That's just like being conned by the same con artist every Friday. Every Friday when you get your paycheck, you run into the same con artist getting you every week for $50. After a while, you're going to say, you know what? I'm tired of this guy getting me every week. I'm gonna be ready for when he come with his games. I'm gonna be ready to run a game on him. That's how it is in the natural. That's how I got to be in the spirit. You got to be ready to combat that devil when he comes to your face. You got to tell him, you ain't going to get me this go round because I'm ready. I'm ready. I done prayed. I done fasted. I got my word. And I'm going to blast you with this word.
Wow.
And when you got that word hitting down on the inside of you, it comes up just when you need it. Assist. That's why you got to study this Bible. Get this word in your heart so that when the devil brings that stuff up to you, you can tell the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You got to throw that word on that devil. And then you got to be ready to resist him because he's going to come. Just as sure as his name is Lucifer, he is coming. Soon as you declare and make up in your mind that you're not going to do that thing no more, he already on the drawing board how he going to try to cover that thing up to make it look like it's new, but it's still the same old stuff. The devil
wow.
is the king of camouflage.
Yeah.
But your spiritual eyes got to be able to see through the camouflage and see the devil when the devil is there.
And you know something? It's something you said that, right? Romans 12:2, it says, and be not conformed to this world. Don't pattern your life after this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, the thing about it, living how wicked this world is, we have to have a constant renewing of the mind.
Yes, good point.
Like, it has to constantly be renewed. You know how, like, you know, when you go get your car, every year you have to get your registration renewed and everything, or you can't drive. You'll be illegal, you know, driving on the road. But in this walk, it's so much wicked attacks that come at you through your children, through your spouse, through your job, your friends, at church, whatever you're involved in that come at you. If your mind is not being renewed, your mind becomes cluttered with the issues of life. And it
yes.
will bombard you, and it'll be too much for you to handle. That's why people start getting depressed. They start having nervous breakdowns because they're not renewing the mind. They're holding all of that stuff in their mind like a trash can. And if you just leave trash in a can for a long period of time, eventually magnets going to set in. It's going to create an odor. It's going to be an infestation of things. But your mind, you must constantly empty out the garbage, empty out the conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Evil communications corrupt good manners. You have to even watch who you're talking to.
That's
everything,
right.
Everything you hear out of anybody's mouth is a seed. Regardless of how you want to look at it, it's a seed.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not show next week, but 6 months down the line, you're wondering that, why am I doing this type of thing? Because somebody spoke to you. And the thing about it, whoever has your ear can detour your life into a direction that is out of the will of God.
Oh,
and earlier today, somebody was on Facebook and they was talking about death and life is in the power of the tongue. And when they were actually reading the scripture, everybody always reads that scripture. They just say death and life is in the power of the tongue, but they don't finish
life.
It says, but they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So that lets me know right there that words are seeds that produce fruit. And people eat the fruit based on which type of fruit they love. So if you love the fruit of death, that's what you're going to eat. If you love the fruit of life, that's what you're going to eat. And whatever you eat from that tree is what creates your world. But my bishop all the time, he says, the world that I live in is not the world that I live in. It's the world that I think I live in. When you renew your mind, you have to think your world, because everything that was going on in this world goes against the perfect will of God. Everything, the rules, you know what I mean? And we talked on here, everything according to the Bible, if you really look at it, in our society now, there are so many different laws being changed that goes against the standards and principles that God has set for his creation.
That's right.
You know, so we really have to get this mind really renewed, and that's the problem. We're holding on grudges. We're holding bitterness in our hearts towards people for years at a time. In years and decades, we're not forgiving aunties and uncles and grandpas. You want to know why? Because it's issues that has happened that no one knows about, and it's not until you confront those issues that you'll truly be free. You just can't
wow.
go to the altar and not confront the issue.
Because the issue going to be there when you get up off the altar.
It's going to be there. But the altar gives you power to deal with the issue. And that's what we have to do. That's why on here on Dirty Church Radio, whoever's out there listening, this show is all about confronting those things that may hurt that you don't want to confront. But at the end of that road of confronting it is true freedom and true deliverance. But you have to confront it.
Yeah.
We've been hiding behind religion too long. Hiding. It's time to face these things, man. Oh, there are daughters and children growing up hurt. Men growing up hurt. And one thing about this Word of God, the Word of God is a mirror. And when you look in that mirror, it shows you who you really are. It shows you the blemishes. It shows you the ugliness of your life. It shows you what's right, what's needed, what you should cut off, what you should trim up. It shows you. But the thing about man, it's not till he walks away from that mirror where he thinks he looks good. And that's the problem with this world. They think they're looking good without looking in the mirror of God and seeing who they truly are. So they're around, walking around, thinking they look like something that they don't.
Mm.
Because God is the true word. He is the true mirror that shows you your real self, because he's the one that created you. And since he created you, his mirror, the mirror of God, gives you your true reflection. Anything else you're looking into besides God, and it's giving you a reflection, I've declared today that it's giving you a false reflection. God is what reflects your true identity. And the problem is we're looking at other things trying to find our identity in relationships, in people, in places and things. But you can only find your true identity in God, because he has the blueprint of your life.
Yes, Lord. Is the sister still on the line? The sister that asked the question, is she still on the line?
You know, no. Her matter of fact, her call just dropped a few minutes ago.
Okay. Well, I was going to say to her, maybe she'll hear
she
it later.
She might still be listening, because she be listening.
Yeah. That's why it's essential to have the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost will do things for us that we are not capable of doing for ourselves. And along with that comes discernment. When your discernment kicks in on you, it'll help you detour from a lot of different sins that we find ourselves prey to. But if you don't have the attributes of the Holy Spirit, it'll be real easy for you to fall subject to these different sins, because you don't have anything to keep you.
Wow.
The Holy Ghost keep you when you don't even have the ability to keep yourself.
How do you know when you had the Holy Ghost, though?
I'll tell you what. One way to know you got the Holy Ghost is get around somebody that you know you hate it before you got it.
Okay. Not even want to ask that because I've been around. Go ahead.
And another way to know if you have the Holy Ghost, take an exam about your witness. Because the Bible says in Acts 1 and 8 that after the Holy Ghost come, you shall receive power.
That's right.
And you shall become my witnesses. So really, when the Holy Ghost come, it makes you want to witness. Because that's what the power really is for, of the Holy Ghost, for you to witness.
Now, the reason why I ask that is because I've been around certain people when they say, you know you've had the Holy Ghost if you're speaking in tongues. But I don't think that's true. You got to speak in tongues or have the Holy Ghost. I don't believe that.
Well, I do know this, that the Word says, after the Holy Ghost come, you shall receive power, and you shall be my witnesses. That's the first thing that when I read that I hear. So whatever, if you're witnessing and you're speaking in tongues or you're witnessing or whatever you're doing, but the key thing for all the gifts is for witnessing purposes. It's
right,
not
right.
Just for you to hold on and be like, I have the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
And you're not doing no witnessing. Because even if you read about, even in early church history, when they didn't want to spread the word to the Gentiles, God brought about persecution that made them scatter, that the word could be spread into other places. So when you, and a lot of times we might be complaining to God, Lord, why the blessings ain't coming to my life, or why is this holding up? Maybe you ain't witnessing. Maybe you ain't doing what God, using that gift the way God gave it to you and the purpose and the reason why he gave it to you. You sitting on it. And I believe the true abuse of a gift is when you don't use it.
True.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? When you just want to be like, I got the gift. You know what I'm saying? You know, I prophesy.
But you're not using
it. You're not using it. Yeah, I prophesy when I want to, or just fly me in and I prophesy. You know, from that angle, like you arrive and like you're all of that because of the gift. You know what I mean? And like people let, and that's, I'm going to tell you, man, and the thing about it, if you got all these gifts and you ain't got love, it's all useless.
You're tinkling in brass and sounding simple.
Yeah, man, it's all useless, yo, if you don't have love in your heart, man, with the gifts. That's what this whole thing about, that's what it's for, man. When God gives you the gift of the Holy Ghost and he gives you those gifts to help the body of Christ, it's all to sharpen us all, but that we draw or we water and plant. And God gives us the anointing through the Holy Ghost to be able to witness. We're not supposed to be walking around here like cowards, with like a dog with our tail between our legs, scared.
That's right. You get boldness. Holy Ghost boldness.
Yeah, like, no, that's for real. That's not God. Like, we ain't supposed to be ashamed of, like, who watching us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? It's about witnessing, and not just opening up a scripture, but it's witnessing through the way you live your life also. Nobody is perfect. If any man says he's perfect, he's a liar. But I do believe we're supposed to display the principles of God and try our best to abide by them.
That's right. That's right.
It's like you said, I believe it took me a long time to realize and to grasp that some people are going to like what you do, some people are not going to like what you do. That's just life. And
that's
so
right.
I was able to accept that, you know. That could be a stronghold in your life, too, as far as, you know, you excelling in life. Are you constantly thinking about, what do they think about me? Did they like the way I sound tonight? Did I sound good tonight? Until I got past that, I was stuck.
That's,
you know,
deep.
What I'm saying?
Let me ask you a question.
What's that?
I'm asking both of y'all this question, too. Apostle, too. Do you believe that the sex that goes on within the church unmarital sex, fornication, adulteries, or whatever that goes on in the church. Do you believe that's a big problem in the body of Christ? Because
sure
there's so many transfer of spirits, of different spirits, of different, this person sleeping with that person, and they're sleeping with all the people that that person slept with, and then that person, and it's just making people become something way more than they are. It takes them, they got so many spirits and so many emotions and so many personalities that start forming in them by all these dealings with all these individuals. Do you think that's a problem?
Yes, it's definitely a problem. And it's been a problem, an existing problem, long, way before now, Jay. This has been going on for centuries, for a long time, you know. And I could go back as far as in the early 70s, man, when at the church I grew up in, it was known as one of the most powerful churches in the city. When it came to the spirituality and living right before God, you couldn't beat this church. But as I got older, I began to discover that it was a lot of isms and schisms going on in the church while all that power was being manifested.
Wow.
So
that's something.
I'm talking about, I done seen demons cast out. I done seen miracles performed. I done seen folks get healed from heart disease, cancer, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of miracles being manifested in this place. But in a lot of the people was living jacked up lives. You had folks in the church that were sleeping with each other's wives, and then they get pregnant and having some another man's baby, and
wow,
they sweeping it all under the carpet.
Yeah, that's some deep stuff.
They sweeping
you know
it
something?
Under the carpet, but then they come into church every Sunday speaking in tongues and running, wilding all over the floor and doing all this crazy stuff. But they
wow.
After the church is over with, they rendezvousing with this one's wife, and they rendezvousing with that one's wife, and now they pregnant and quiet as it's kept. It ain't their husband's child.
Yeah.
That's Deacon Urge's son. But Evangelist Jackbone was sleeping with Deacon Urge's, and now she getting ready to have Deacon Urge's son, but she think it's Brother Jackbone. He's trying to trick Brother Jackbone into thinking that it's his when it's really Deacon Urge's.
And that's a lot of stories that's like that. Just like all the drugs that's going on amongst, I'm just going to give a category, and I'm just throwing little things out here. What about all the drugs that are being used through the musicians in the house of God?
Oh, man, please. Man, I know guys, man, that see, first of all, the lack of respect for the house of God is dwindled down to almost nothing, number one. There was a time when I was coming up, people wouldn't even smoke in front of the church.
Church.
Now they'll sit on the steps of the church and smoke, not just cigarettes. They'll smoke reefer, they'll smoke crack, they'll smoke whatever they want. And then some of them have the nerve to even go inside the building, knowing they just got finished smoking a joint, will pick their instrument up, play their instrument, and would look at you and dare you to say something about the fact that they're high right now.
And you know something? I can speak on that, right? The reason why I brought that up, I don't bring that up to condemn anyone else. I bring that up because I've been in church high before.
See?
I've been in church high off of weed, marijuana before.
Yep.
I played the drums in church high on marijuana before. And that thing, I mean, I've been there. That's why I can speak on that. Like, I know what it's like to do that. Like, I really know what it's like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm talking about on this show. Confronting issues that no one wants to talk about. This is Dirty Church Radio. And I say this to all the listeners out there. Whatever your thoughts of seeds are, come plant it in the dirt on Dirty Church Radio, and I guarantee you, something will grow. Something will grow.
Yes,
it's going to grow.
Yes,
and you know something? We got a guest caller on here tonight too. I'm gonna let them on right now. They're gonna start laughing probably. Watch. What's going on, caller?
What's going on, boss man?
Good man. How you doing?
I'm all right. How y'all guys doing?
Good, man.
Is this my man Sean Leonard?
Nah, this your man for days, man. It's Dave.
Dave Thomas?
Yes, sir.
Oh, we got Little Bishop on the line tonight.
Yes, sir.
Yo,
we appreciate you calling in tonight, man.
I'll just strolling through my phone, and I'll just so happen to get a link on Facebook. I said, let me tune into it. But I've been listening to y'all for a little minute before I push the number one button and get in. I just caught the ending part of what y'all was saying, and you know what I mean, about being musicians and period, being a person that, you know, being in church high and drunk and all that. It comes to a point where, you know what I mean, you get sick and tired of doing what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? And you realize, you feel me, it's not right. I'm going to be honest with you. And they say the old people always tell me the devil sit from the front to the back. You know what I'm saying? It starts with the head, and it goes down to the people that's in the benches and the chairs of the church. I witnessed, you know what I mean, a lot of things, you know what I mean? But who am I to critic anybody, you know, because I got flaws myself, and you know what I mean? And I'm going to tell you this. It's the point of growing up, not basically just growing up in age. It's the point of growing up in God. You know what I'm saying? When you just get, it's like it's 2013. Cats, they don't care. You know what I mean? I could go to church any old kind of way. It's just a hobby to them. You know, church is coming to be just a fashion show. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to put it like this. One thing somebody told me, if it wasn't for God and how serious I take God and me believing God, I wouldn't go back to church another day of my life. Why? Because the way that we growing up now and spiritually growing up, we taking church for granted. We taking God for granted. You know what I mean? We're us taking God for granted. God looking at us saying, you know wrong, you know right for wrong, but you chose to do what you want to do. But when it comes to that day when you really want something and you want to pray and pray and pray, God say, you remember that day? You knew what you was supposed to do, but you chose not to do it? Now it's my time to choose if I'm going to do that for you.
Oh,
you know, we forget who is the headmaster. You know what I mean? It's not all about you.
That's right.
One thing I was always taught, When you leave a person, you don't never say, I'll see you later. How you know you're going to see me later? You supposed to say, it's the Lord's will that I'll see you later. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's who wake you up in the morning. That's who really make your moves and make you think the way you think. But we, as human beings and taking God for granted, we just think, oh, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to do my same routine. Let's not get common to God. Let's not get too common to the world and say, what we going to do and don't know what we going to do. You understand what I'm saying? I'm young, you know what I mean? And I'm big deal. I'm going to give my testimony and I'm going to be honest with you because I'm happy right now with my life.
I don't care what nobody think about me.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you this now. I'm happy, man, because the lifestyle I'm living now, a lot of people doubted me. A lot of people say I wouldn't do what I'm doing, be where I'm at right now. Man, God blessed me with a beautiful, beautiful wife, and he blessed me with a beautiful son on the way. And God, you understand what I'm saying? Because this stuff that I'm doing now, I wasn't supposed to be doing. In man's eyes, I wasn't supposed to be doing this. You understand what I'm saying? But right now, I speak to say, look, my life is greater, and it's going to get even greater. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Cause I don't worry about what other people say. I worry about what God think about me, not what everybody else think about me.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm never the type to be in the shine like, to want to be this and that. Nah, I'm not that. I worry about and make sure my household good. My wife is good. My son is going to be good. You know what I mean? And I just thank God for where he put me at, man, and where I'm about to go.
Thank you, Lord.
Yo, that's a blessing, man. I appreciate you. I'm going to tell you. You saying that, it's a lot of listeners out there right now, man, that is listening, and them hearing a young man say that, man. if any young brothers out there, man, take heed to that right there, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Listen,
yes,
take
sir.
Heed to that, because that's real talk right there.
Yes, sir.
That's real
yes,
talk
sir.
Right there.
Hey, Jay, I wanna read this scripture and to back up what Dave was saying. It's Proverbs, the first chapter, and I'm going to begin reading that verse 24. It says, because I have called and ye refused, stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set a naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despise all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil.
Wow. That scripture just blessed me right now, just hearing that right there.
Yeah.
I felt that right there.
Yeah.
Man, look, I'd rather have God and not need to bother him than to need him and can't find him.
Can't find him. No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I'm telling you.
That's something right there, man.
I'm gonna tell you, Dave, man, look.
Yes.
I'm proud of you, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir.
I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of you.
I am proud of you, man.
Any young man, especially today, any young man that can come on this radio and say that they live in positive, because I call that positive.
Yes, yes, indeed.
When you live in the, you got family on your mind, when you got living an honorable life on your mind, instead of doing all the things that you could be doing, what you could be doing is far away from what you say you're doing now. And if nobody else, and I know your dad told you, I know your mom told you, but sometimes you need to hear it from an outside source. You stay where you are, and then my prayer is that you go even higher, brother.
Wow.
And as you go higher, I pray you go deeper.
Wow. Thank you.
As you go higher, I pray you go deeper, because the higher you go, the deeper you're going to have to go. And, man, you ain't seen nothing yet, my friend.
Yes.
You ain't seen nothing yet. Jay?
Yes.
Because you can say what you want, man. I'm so proud of Jermaine Miller.
Yes.
I know I planted a seed to get Jay to the place where Jay can see what I was seeing all along.
Yes, no doubt.
And man, and nobody could understand. But I said, man, there's more to Jay than sitting on them drums.
Yeah, no doubt.
More to Dave than just sitting on that keyboard, my friend.
No doubt. No
God
doubt.
Got a tremendous work for you to do.
No doubt.
He got a tremendous work for you to do, man. And I'm so happy. I'm so proud, man. It's almost as if that was my son on the line.
No doubt, no doubt.
I'm serious, man.
Wow, that's
deep. I'm so happy. I don't even have the words to express how happy I am to hear you singing what you're singing on this radio broadcast today. Listen, as long as you're breathing, and this is to somebody out there that's listening to this radio broadcast, as long as you're breathing, you still got a chance.
Right? Say that again.
As long as you're breathing, you still, I don't care what you did, I don't care what you're doing right now.
As long as
you're breathing, you still got a chance. And this young man tonight on his phone is a prime example. And as long as you're breathing, and you got your right mind, even if you don't have your right mind, you still got a chance because
yeah.
God is still able, and he's
wow.
still delivering his children
mm.
that want to be delivered.
Mm.
You know something, Dave, man? I'm going to
yeah.
tell you, since we got this platform, Dirty Church Radio, man, you know, this is a place where no topic or issue is out of bounds.
Yes.
Yo, anytime you want to get the brothers, your boys, anyone, man, and they can come on Dirty Church Radio, man, and we can talk about anything. Don't matter what it is, we can talk about it. Just
yes.
let them know, man,
yeah.
if they need something to get off their heart, they need to express themselves, they can come on Dirty Church Radio, yo. We're not going to judge them. We're not going to
no
look down upon them. We will accept the seeds and put it in the dirt. But it's not it's not an ordinary dirt, man, on this show. This dirt on this show is to grow things, man. That's what it's for, yo.
Good ground.
To grow
good
things,
ground.
Man.
I'm
going to
tell
you, man. So whatever topics, any issues, man, when you around the different brothers, you know, because for all the radio listeners out there, man, this young brother, man, he helps a lot of young men. You know what I mean? A lot of
yes.
young men, they follow him. You know, he gives them advice. You know, they look up to him like a big brother. And it's good, you know, so what better way for him to be an example to lead
yeah.
them in the right direction? You know what I'm saying? In any
yeah.
way that we can help on here on Dirty Church Radio to be able to for the voices of young men to be heard, because some young men just need to talk. Some of them been holding stuff in for years, and once they start expressing it, they start getting condemned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And beat
yeah.
down. But here on Dirty Church Radio, man, I'm going to tell you, man, this is what it's for. This is what it's for, man. We can handle it. We men on here, and I'm not just saying this show is not just for men to come on. Women, girl, whoever can come on this show. But my heart, I do have a heart for the young brothers because I was once a young brother, and I know what it's like in the struggles out in the streets. I know what it's like to not have no money in your pocket and your back is against the wall and you got so many things. You like, I got to eat, and you out here, you make certain choices and do different things. But a lot of times, man, if the right person can give a young brother some guidance and directions,
exactly.
they won't have to go down some of the roads that they're going down.
That's right.
One thing you got to understand, too, Jay, and I'm going to be honest with you, like you said, a lot of these brothers, they do what they got to do on the streets and stuff like that is because they don't have an outlet. So the outlet to them is the hood, is the streets, is a gun. And so I'm saying, and if they had a good person that was guiding them, trust me, it wouldn't be so much in Trenton that's going on now, these killings and accidents and all this. It wouldn't be that going on if we had the right church, the right spiritual leader. You understand what I'm saying? That this don't close their church for their certain kind of people. Instead of saying that, don't just exclude their church and just say, oh, my church is this, my church is that. Number one thing about it is, when we all go to heaven, you know what I mean? The thing about it is, it's only going to be one church.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? It's going to be one church. So us down here battling and fighting and saying, this church is this, that church is that, who are you to judge? Who are you to put people in categories? Who are you to do that? You ain't nobody. You
that's
just
right.
like everybody else. You a person just like everybody else. But the thing we realize is when we all see Jesus, he's going to be the top dog.
That's
he's
right.
the one going to have the big church and the big this and the big that. See, we need to stop judging. We need to stop thinking about the materialistic part of life and the materialistic things in life and just worry about souls that need to be saved. We scared to hit the streets. We scared to witness to other people because we say, oh, I ain't going to that hood. They shoot too much. I ain't going to this hood. They do too much. Prime example was God bless the dead, Pastor Hughes. He was in his own area. In his eyes, it was his safe area, his home.
Right.
They ran up to him. You
yep.
understand what I'm saying?
He
didn't go to them. They ran to him.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean? One thing about it, we never forget. It can happen to anybody.
anybody.
You ain't prayed that right. If you ain't living the life you need to live for God, it can happen to anybody.
That's
we
right.
Say we all say we go to these funerals and we say, oh, he's in a better place now. How do you know?
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? You didn't live in his shoes. You didn't live in her shoes. You understand what I'm saying? It's not about who, what you got, what you doing. But the thing about it is, who you living for and are you living
right? That's right. That's
right. You understand what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. I don't go to church because my dad's a pastor. I don't go to church because I'm made to go to church. Now, I go to church because I know it's what I need to do. That's what's going to carry and help me through life. I just do the week through life. So
that's
I go there because I need that word. I need God. I need him to help me, man. And so I need that in my life, man. Being young is hard out here, man.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I drive around Trenton all day. I know God
yeah.
sell weed, sell drugs. I know God do this, that, and third. But I chose not to live that lifestyle because I know that's not me. That's not my mission. My mission is to be out there
man?
Recruit.
Hearing you say that, it's like a lot of the older brothers need to actually stop trying to be the young brothers.
Oh, there you go.
They actually need to stop being trying to be young because, like, now, man, you got these young boys leading the older
leading
kids
old.
Out here in the street.
Man up.
You know what I'm saying?
That's all you got to do, man up.
And I think a lot of times people are scared. Listen, everybody in this life, we get older. And I think people be afraid to embrace what they're becoming.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Because I don't want to look like the weakest link.
I don't want to be crowned. Listen,
yes, sir,
you ain't supposed to be going on 50 years old still with your pants down to your ankles. You know what I'm saying? Holding on to yesterday.
Mm.
How about being 50 years old still living in your mama's basement?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's going on.
That's going on. How about that?
You know what?
Up,
that could
God.
Be the Peter Pan syndrome.
Mm.
Yep.
Mm.
Get out the treehouse, brother.
Yeah, Peter Pan, man. Cats out here, you know, living in fairy tale land, man.
Fairy tale land.
Reality, man.
But you know what the thing about it is, Jay, and Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. At the end of the day, we as the adults that the kids are looking up to, we are going to be held accountable for the way they're acting.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? And what they're doing, because we know the way. We was taught the way. These kids, they don't know the way all the way. So us not teaching them and older cats not teaching the young crew, we're going to be held accountable. That's just one time my dad preached was, if you know, if God tells you and you don't tell the other person what he told you, the blood is going to be on your hands.
That's right. Something
happens to him.
That's
because
right.
I told you, and you didn't inform them what I told you. So now I'm not going to hold them accountable for it. I'm going to hold you accountable. So now you're in trouble for not delivering my message.
Mm-hmm.
It says simply in the Bible, train up a child in the way he should go. That when he get
when
old,
he get
not
old,
depart from
not
it.
Depart from it.
So why did you try to teach him?
You know what's crazy, though, Dave, on some real? You just quoted that scripture, right? But you truly just lived that scripture. Like,
yes, no
that
doubt.
Scripture came to life in your life, dog.
Yes,
yes
no
it
doubt,
did.
Huh?
Yes, it did.
Because
no
you
doubt,
was
no
raised
doubt.
The right way. You know what I'm saying? And we all
yeah.
depart and do certain things and go out.
Yeah.
But look at
yeah.
you now. Look
yeah.
how you're talking
yeah.
now.
Yeah, man. That's
just
man.
Saying that the word is true.
That's
word.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you the word out, man, and it's been out for years before I was even born. The pastor's kids are the worst kids. You understand what I'm saying? That's what they say. But I'm here to tell you, we live our life the same way as everybody else live their life. We make mistakes just like everybody else. The only thing different is we got a label in front of our names.
Hey, don't go into that one no more because next week, that's going to be the topic. We're going to have a two-night series on the pastor's kids, the preacher kids.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to
be
a two-night series. So y'all
I'm ready for that,
man. PK.
I'm ready for that. The pre-K. Word up, man. Yeah. We're going to have them on here, man.
It's going to be a two-part series, two nights in a row, back-to-back. We want to get as many pastors' kids to call in, regardless of where you're at right now, whether you're not in church or you're in church, whatever.
Yeah.
What has it done to you? What have you become?
Mm.
What
did
has
you experienced?
What did you experience? And I can't wait to really talk that, man, because that's going to be a great topic, man, because I even believe in that conversation, even preacher kids are going to get healed and let go of some bitterness through the conversations that they've been holding on towards the congregations that they've seen hurt their parents.
Wow. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you this, man. That's going to be... It's going to be an ongoing conversation. You ain't going to be able to stop. So I'm going to tell you now, we break out with it now, and I can slam some people right now. And the conversation, I'm telling you, it's going to be crazy. You know, because we see things that other people don't see. We hear things that other people don't hear.
We deal with
the headache that our parents have to deal with when they got to come home and tell us the stories. When we're made to go to church when we're young, and we still got to look you in your face and say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, how you doing? But knowing we don't like you, that's hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
That's hard.
Yeah, that's some deep stuff right there. But save that right there. Save that for the next episode because that's going to get deep. That's going to get deep. And tonight, I got a little psych just hearing that right there.
You got to be on that one, Dave. You got to be on that one.
Yeah, I'm going to be on that. Yeah, man. I want assistance. I want everybody, like, for real, we're going to make this one big, man.
Yeah.
We're going to get the word out, some advertisement. I'm even going to do a few trailers for this joint.
Yeah.
Hook it up, man. So we're going to have it. We're going to really talk about it. But tonight, Dave, since you're on the line with us and we're here talking, tonight's topic is praise, sex, and drugs. Are you addicted? And earlier in the show, probably before you called on, we was talking about how people get caught up in the cycle of praising God, leaving the house of God, going to do the same thing that they just asked God to forgive them for as soon as they leave. And they get stuck in that habit of the repeated sin. They get stuck in the habit of those, it's almost like they're hiding the addiction behind the praise.
Yeah.
So dealing with the things that people are hiding behind. I don't want to deal with that. Don't preach on that. Don't talk about that because I'm comfortable right here, but when you deal with that thing, I can't handle that. So normally, when you deal with my addiction or you try to expose my addiction, if you find out about it, that's when I start some rumors or I'll create some lies.
Yeah. You
gotta
bring
the attention off me to put it on somebody else.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you this, Jay, and my dad always said, you get away with something once, you keep on doing it. Church people, us as church people, we know how to, black people know how to play church. So I could go to church Sunday to Sunday and still go home and have sex with the lady sitting on the left side of the church and it don't affect me. Why? Because I'm so trite, I know church to the point where I could go do this and make sure I'm at church on time. And while I'm in church, I'm clocking the preacher. And in my mind, I'm not listening to what he's saying, but I'm timing and I'm watching my phone and texting and saying, when I get out of church, it became so common. The conversation, church is in your conversation. And you say, I'm in church, I'll be there when I leave church. And we get it all mixed up and we don't even know why we really is. And we playing God, to be honest. We playing him. We playing God like we playing one of our boys. This ain't a game, because how you know on your way from church to there, you gonna make it?
Yeah,
That's the thing. You gotta understand one thing. They say God is a jealous God. So if you don't give me what I want, what makes you think I'm gonna let you live the rest of this night? What makes you think I'm gonna let you make it the rest of this night? You playing me?
Wow.
You playing me, man?
Yeah, that's real talk.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's real talk. And you know what? And if you really think about it, every one of us on this phone, that's why we started making some choices, because
yeah,
we realized
yeah.
we was getting away with too much.
We was getting
too eventually,
much.
And eventually,
it was becoming too easy. Too easy.
Yeah, eventually, it's something going to happen.
Yeah.
So you better get this thing right and stop playing
yeah.
because you've
yeah.
been, God done gave you too much mercy and too much grace. And
wow.
you're just taking advantage
wow.
of it.
Oh, God.
Wow. Whew. I'm getting chills even just thinking about that.
Oh,
I mean,
man,
I remember the time smoking
right.
weed, man. I remember smoking weed, going to church and playing. And I remember having experiences. I'm going to give this little testimony, man. I'm going to tell you. One day, it was my brother's birthday, man. Since we're on the radio, this Dirty Church radio. I'm at my brother's house. We're playing Madden. We're playing the football game Madden. We're smoking weed, drinking. Celebrating my brother's birthday. This was on February the 11th, like 2004, 5, something like that. We smoking weed and getting high and just enjoying ourselves, laughing and, you know, just talking and everything. So all of a sudden, I get up and I'm like, I'll be right back. I got to go to the bathroom. So I go in the bathroom. And when I go in the bathroom, I'm like, yo, something don't feel right.
Yeah.
So I try to put some water on my face. Be like, yo, man, pull yourself together, Jay. You bugging, you know what I mean? So I'm like, all right, let me get ready to go back out here. When I put my hand on the doorknob, it felt like I was about to pass out. So I let my hand off the doorknob. I was okay. And I'm like, yo, am I bugging? What's going on? I must be really high. Right?
Yeah.
I put my hand back on the door to go with the mind to go back out there and continue getting high and doing what I was doing before I went in. So like I was about to pass out again. I kid you not, man. God was like, listen, if I let you out of this bathroom with the mind to smoke weed and do what you was going to do, I'm going to kill you before you go out there.
Wow.
Do you know I questioned it and I put my hand back on the doorknob to go out there like I'm bugging, and it felt like I was about to go out again, and I took my hand off the doorknob? He was like, listen, I'm telling you, this might sound crazy to the listeners and everybody listening, but he was like, listen, if you go, if I let you out here to go out there and continue to do what you think you're going to do, I'm going to kill you.
Wow.
I looked in the mirror, and I started crying. I was like, Lord, I'm done. He was like, you had to choose that because my purpose is greater than what your intentions are.
Wow.
Right? I went to put my hand on the door. I was like, God, I'm done. I won't get high no more, nothing. I put my hand on the door. I opened the door, and I was okay. I went to my brother and them. I gave him a handshake. I hugged my cousins and all them. I was like, yo, I don't smoke weed no more, yo. I love y'all. I see y'all. I stayed away from my brother and my cousins and them for 30 days until my system completely flushed out. And I can honestly say I haven't smoked weed since. I've been delivered from that. And really,
wow.
it was a deliverance of selfish will. It was a deliverance from me doing what I wanted to do. I he delivered me from the enjoyment of it. Like, I didn't look at weed as a problem. I looked at it as an enhancement. This is part of life. I'm enjoying myself. I like doing this thing. So I didn't never look at it from as it being an issue. But
I'm going to tell you, though, you got to understand, that's how the devil works. He'll let you go so far until he lets you hang yourself.
That's right.
When you hang yourself, then that's when he's nowhere to be around. And now you're on your own. That's how it always happens.
That's
you know
right.
I mean? That's his play. That's his game.
He's the accuser of the saints.
You know that.
That's his job.
That's his job, huh?
And then, you know, we was to all go on the topic of sex.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a whole nother thing right there. That's like a whole nother, you know what I'm saying, angle.
Yeah.
How, you know, you defile yourself, man, you know, to a point. But I'm here on this radio, man, telling anyone, if you really want God to deliver you, you can be delivered.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait
till
I finish this book, man. I'm writing this book, and I've been slow with it, but I got the concept, and I done did some typing on and everything, man. It's a book called Church Boys in the Hood. And the hood stands for having opportunities of deliverance.
Wow.
And it's talking about young men who grow up in church or who grow up with parents who are very religious, who grow up with a sense and a concept of God. But you're connected in so many things, but you're always surrounded by an atmosphere of deliverance, but don't accept it. You got a mom and a pop that's praying for you. You got aunties and cousins that's praying for you. But you're selling drugs. You're running women. You go to church, but you're connected in both places, and you're surrounded by deliverance like we all was. We all was in atmospheres of deliverance but never accepted it the way we should have. We took deliverance for granted.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And I know, Apostle, you're an apostle on the show, but this is Dirty Church Radio, and I know, like, to deliver and bless someone's soul out here, a lot of times preachers, people start looking at preachers like they don't have no story, like they ain't never did nothing, or the preacher gives that persona about themselves off like they've never done nothing.
Nah, bro.
But see, they get a misconception that. They
hear
it too.
Yeah, man.
And some of my greatest messages have been preached because of something that I did that God delivered me out of.
Wow.
And I'm talking about that was delivered the night before I had to preach.
Wow.
Right. So yeah. Let me tell you something. God ain't never used nobody that ain't had a little bit of dirt on them.
Mm.
That's right. I mean, I actually heard a preacher curse one time, and you know, at first I was like, okay, that person, you know, they don't love God, they're not really saved. But I thought they hear me too. You know, they make mistakes.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
It's no different than anybody else. You know, you make a mistake, you say, God, forgive me, I made a mistake, and move on with your life.
Can I tell you something, man? Sometimes, man, and this is a word that's going to encourage somebody. Sometimes, man, what your greatest struggle is what your ministry is.
Wow. Wow.
And whatever your greatest struggle is, that's probably what's going to be used to deliver many.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. And listen, like I said earlier, some of my greatest messages, man, was I'll give you an example. I remember one time, man, and this is when I was young. I hadn't even been married or nothing. And I was messing with this girl, and this girl was bad, man. She was fine. And, man, I had made up my mind. I was like, man, I ain't going to mess with this girl, man. I can't do it because if they find out, if my grandfather find out about it, it's going to devastate them. Man, next thing, a couple of weeks went by, and we doing what we doing. Next thing I know, man, I succumbed to my urges, dog. Next thing you know, I was knee-deep. Knee-deep, brother. And, man, when I got this was on a Friday, dog. When I got finished, man, I felt so bad because I had to preach at the Joy Night the next night, dog. You know what God told me after I begged God all night? He let me go all night asking him to forgive me. God, please forgive me. I got to preach tomorrow night. I can't get up and preach to these people knowing what I did. I can't do it. You know what God told me? He said, I forgave you when you was doing it.
Wow.
Wow.
He said, go and preach my word and preach with fire, preach with power. Man, I went to that church the next night, Doc, and about 15 young people gave their life to the Lord.
Wow.
You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because I shared what I had just did in my message.
Wow.
And when I became real and let them know, don't let your struggle make you give up on your purpose. That's what my message was. Don't let your struggle make you give up on your purpose. Because,
wow,
first of all, God knew your struggle before you even knew what it was.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And if,
wow,
God can forgive you in the midst of your struggle and then continue to forgive you while you're coming out of it, don't let your guilt of whatever you've done in your past make you abort your purpose, make you abort with the plan of God that he got on your life. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you could be doing right now. God still can use you, because there's no sin that's too great that God won't forgive, except for blasphemy.
Wow.
And if you ain't ever blasphemed against God, God can still use you. So what, you had a child out of wedlock? And you ain't the first, you ain't going to be the last. Shake yourself off, get yourself back in right standing with God, and get right back on the plow and get to working and doing what you're supposed to do. Don't let your past, don't let the sin you may have committed, don't let that make you abort your purpose, because God still can use you.
Wow. We got a caller in. Oh, this looks like... Uh-oh, okay. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Hey, everybody. It's my wife on the line, everybody.
How you doing?
It's Charmel.
Hi.
All right there, Mrs. Miller.
How are you?
All right. How you doing, sis?
All right. You know, I was just listening to what you were saying when you were talking about, you know, your struggle and stuff and how you not get caught up in your struggle. Now, for me, you know, I started out young, you know, having children and being in the struggle. You know, sometimes when you don't have anybody to turn to, when you turn to other things as far as alcohol or drugs or however, now, when you're going through a struggle and you're turning to other things, sometimes it's kind of hard to try and turn away from it, because it seems like you have nowhere else to turn. And when you're trying to make right choices, it seems sometimes like if you make that choice, still in all, when you're doing stuff by yourself, you feel alone. Sometimes it seems like you just keep leaning on something because you just want to feel that comforted, like, okay, you okay, you can do this. But it's more so like being able to just have the more so power over it to just submit. And I think basically what I'm trying to say, if you guys are kind of getting lost, what I'm trying to say.
We following you,
you
sis. Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yep, I understand. We understand what you're saying.
Okay, like coming from a female point of view.
Uh-huh.
And even for a female who has children who are young that are single parents, you know, it could be a time where, you know, you would do, you know, as far as interact with things that you know that's wrong, just for either attention or just for the company, because you might be lonely. But I know for myself, I had to make a choice in doing, you know, and making the right choice. And it's not that easy, and it don't happen overnight. But when you feel it in your heart and you know that's what you want to do, I'm just saying, just make that choice, because you never know on the other side what it's going to be like. You may be scared. You may not know what to do. You may not even think you're going to have any friends at the end of it all. But the whole point of the matter is God loves you. And
right.
You, if you have kids, your children are going to love you. And not only that, but you have to pave the way for them. And the drug is not going to do it. And if they continue
right.
to see you do it, then they're going to think that it's okay for them to do it. And really, it's not good. So basically, it's being strong and being steady and trying to get in the Word. And when if you don't know the Word, you know, get somebody to help you out. But it all starts with prayer.
That's right.
It all starts with prayer.
It all starts with prayer.
And coming from me, not knowing how to pray at first, but it coming to me, you know, eventually, I just thank God because he brought me from a mighty, mighty, mighty long way. And if it wasn't for him, I don't know where I would be. And that's all
wow.
I want to say.
Amen. That's good.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. I've seen and from being on the outside looking in, I've seen a great God moving greatly in your life. Just from it hasn't been that long if you think about it.
Yeah.
But from where you were when you first started coming around to where you are now, you should be happy and elated and know that you are a prime example of what God can do for a woman that might not have the spiritual attributes of somebody that grew up in church.
Right.
Or that might have had a parent that was a mother in the church or a parent that was a pastor. It all comes from, first of all, being connected with the right people.
And that was one of the great things is being connected to the right people, because I was actually around people who really didn't even give crap, don't care about you, care more about themselves. You know what I mean? And you can actually get yourself lost in your own destiny just
mm-hmm.
by the choices that you make that you bring on yourself.
That's right.
And like I said, I came a long way. Here I am. I'm married now. Never thought I would be. I'm married now, beautiful children, and for somebody who didn't think much of themselves, to me, that's the best thing.
That's right.
Wow.
That's why it's important. It's important to not just to be around good people, but when you start talking about. Because there's a plethora of churches that you could go to, you could be a member of. Your church is your foundation. And you have to make sure that the people that you're connecting with that's supposed to be guiding you spiritually, you got to be able to see something in them to make you desire what they got. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's why, and I'm not tooting nobody's horn or nothing, but I thank God for the leadership that I know that you guys are under.
Amen to that.
I thank God for the leadership that you guys are under, because you, one thing I can say about your leaders is that they love God.
Yes,
they live what they preach. And when you can sit under a ministry where you can feel the effects of what somebody's preaching, that is going to be the catalyst to change your life. That's one of the catalysts that's going to change your life, because you're not just hearing a preached word, you're seeing the word being preached as well. And that has such an effect on your walk with God. And I'm saying this tonight to say to somebody that's listening to me on this radio broadcast, connect yourself to a good Bible-believing church. That the leaders of the church are not just preaching to you, telling you what not to do, but they're doing it themselves. They're living and they're leading by example. And when you got a leader that's leading you by example, that is a leader that you need to follow, because if you can follow a leader that's leading by example, you can watch your life transform right in front of your eyes.
That's real talk. You know something? It's something, you know, my wife, she's calling on the line, but to actually be the other person, living with the person, seeing, knowing them before I even brought her into the ministry where I'm at, and to actually see her evolve into such, wow, to such a great woman and mother. And it lets me even believe the word even more, what the word can do to a person's life.
Yes.
And sometimes, man, not sometimes, all the time, all you need is a word. Something else that you wasn't hearing. And that's the problem. You know, if you're in an atmosphere and you're in only thing you're hearing is the negativity of what you're in, and you're only seeing the results in your life of what you're in. And a lot of times, if you're living in a pit, you'll think that pit is a mansion until you actually go to a real one.
That's right.
It's not until you leave from the pit and go onto a palace that you actually get a glimpse of what a real palace is. And then it opens your mind up more, and it makes you really see what you were in. And it makes you really be like, listen, I can't go back to that. And I thank God, man, just seeing how God works on my wife, it helps me want God to work on me even the more.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes we can, you know, just seeing God move. You know, we can pray and we see God move on ourselves. But when you can actually see change in someone else, it ministers to you because, like, it makes you say, you know, this word that I'm believing for myself, this thing is really real.
Mm-hmm.
It's really real. And I just thank God, man. You know what I mean? And Lou, Apostle Young, you know, you've been around for a minute, man. You was around me before me and her even, you know what I'm saying,
man.
Got together. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, I know, Lou.
You know what I'm saying? And to actually see what God's done in the last 3 years.
That's right. That's right.
3 years, and that ain't long. Listen, I'm talking about a serious transformation, man.
Yeah.
From the time y'all stood up there and took those wedding vows, man, it's like God just started. It was like a whirlwind. God just came and just did that thing, man. And I mean, when I say he did it, he did it. And that's a testimony to somebody that might be listening. That's why you gotta get connected.
Yeah, you definitely have to get connected.
You got to get connected. And once you get connected, God will take care of everything else. Just get connected. And let me say this, because your wife opened up something, and I got to say this while it's in my spirit to say it. Ladies, especially ladies, there's a distinct difference between what you need and what you may be desiring. There's a difference, because you need God. I don't care what you're dealing with. You need God. You don't necessarily need that man.
Right.
Especially if that man is bringing you down instead of taking you up. All right. So they teach you in psychology, especially when you're dealing with people that's dealing with drugs or that have an addiction. You can't take away the addiction and don't give something to replace the addiction. All right? And when you're dealing with a woman that all she's known is being with a man, she don't know how to function unless she has a man. So what she has to do, she has to get around folks that can relate to her in her situation, not judge her, but relate to her in a situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And constantly feed her and tell her you can make it without a man. You don't need that man. You need Jesus. Once you get Jesus, then Jesus can get your mind prepared for the man that you're supposed to have.
That's right.
Because when you get the right connection and you get yourself mentally prepared for the man, then God will send the man that you're supposed to have. He will find you.
Exactly.
Instead of
you
finding
him. For
him
at all, and it'll be exactly the right person for you.
It'll be exactly what you need now. All right? But I'm talking about the nowness of your deliverance. See, you got, once you get yourself delivered, and Charmel, you, Sister Miller, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
When you got to the place where you wanted God.
Right.
You wanted God. And once you got a relationship with God, then God was able to equip you to be the woman that you needed to be for Jay.
Amen.
Okay. If all you know is, the only way I can keep a man is I got to do X, Y, and Z. And every time I've done X, Y, and Z, I ended up hurt. Then the next thing happens, I'm with another man. Then there's another man. Then there's another man. The only way you're going to be able to break cycles like this here is with God. Because you do not have the strength to break the cycle on your own. Because if you could, you would do it.
And then on top of that, what they do is they'll keep carrying pain from the last relationship into the next one.
And then it's just on and on
and on.
On and on.
Bitterness to bitterness, bitterness to bitterness. You know what I'm saying? And
yep.
God is the one who brings true deliverance. And the same with men. Men
That's
who've
right.
been womanizers, men who've been Mr. Player.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? The man who women, you never had problem women problems. Women always came at you. You know what I mean? That those type of things. You know what I mean? So, I mean, man, we face so much stuff in this life that we really, truly, man, have to stand in the mirror of the word, man. Because if we don't stand in the mirror of the word, we have stuff on us, man.
A false image of ourselves.
Yes, man. A false image. That's why you got people, you know what I mean, thinking they big. I heard y'all say this a lot. When little got them.
Little strangling
them. And then you got people thinking they little when they're bigger than what they're thinking.
That's right. They definitely bigger than their struggle.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And like I was saying to my brother the other night, I was like, listen, man, whatever you're going through, no matter what it is, don't let your problems sound louder than your praise.
That's right.
Don't let those issues in your life be louder than your praise. And to all the listeners out there, listen, this is Dirty Church Radio. I am your host, Minister Jay Miller. I hope you were blessed tonight. I hope God gave you some insight on different addictions. And you know what? You may have not called in, but you know what you deal with. You know what's in your mind. You know what that thing that you may be addicted to. You know what that stronghold and that struggle is. But I'm here to let you know tonight, get in the mirror so you can look that struggle in the face and let it know and tell it that you got to leave.
That's
gotta
right.
Go. You no longer live here no longer.
That's
I'm
right.
giving you to God. But
yeah.
you got to get in the word so you can look at it and see it. You got to look it at it in its face.
Thank you.
Confront it in its face, and I guarantee you, you shall be delivered from it. Whether it's sex, drugs, whatever the stronghold is, you can be delivered. I thank God for Apostle Louis Young, our co-host on the show. I thank God for all the guests, the callers that called in tonight. Listen, stay tuned. The Dirty Church Radio, see us Sunday night, primetime, live. Sunday night, primetime, live at 8 o'clock. God bless you.
God bless.
Apostle?
Yes.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you, man. Love y'all.
We're not
going to
do a bonus round tonight, bro. We ain't going to do a bonus round tonight. We're going to just leave it like that. Brother Bill, we appreciate you being on the call with us, man, this whole night, man.
God bless you. I ain't talking, but God bless you.
We thank you for the support, man, but you listened. I appreciate you being on here, man. And stay tuned, man. Sunday night, man, we're going to have Sunday night prime time live.
Okay.
I'll send it out to y'all, man. But you be blessed, man, and everyone have a good night, man.
All right, y'all have a good night.
Peace. Peace.